Good evening, brethren and sisters. Let us open this meeting through the use of hymn number 162, after which we'll ask Brother Ben Daughter to open with a word of prayer. Come, let us anew our journey pursue, roll round with the year, and never stand still till the Master appeal. Hymn 162.
Our Father, which dwellest eternally in the heavens above, the Creator of all life, hallowed be thy most holy and wonderful name. We, thy children, do humbly approach unto thy throne at this time, desiring to praise thee and thank thee for all the many blessings which thou hast showered upon us this day, especially now for allowing us to gather in this way to fellowship one another of like precious faith, and to thank thee for gathering us from various parts of this world, that we may come together in this way, that we might be strengthened and uplifted, fellowship one another, to bring honor and glory unto thy name, Father, which we pray that we might do this day through our meeting together in this way. And we pray that all that we do might rise unto thee as a smell of sweet savor. And Father, we pray that thou would forgive us for the times when we fail thee, and that we sin. We recognize we do often, and that we recognize we are in continual need of thy guidance and direction in our lives at all times. This we are aware comes from thy holy word of truth, which is able to make one wise unto salvation. Father, we pray that thou would send soon thy Son to this earth to set up thy kingdom and to fulfill thy will, and ultimately, we do pray that each of us standing here before thee, after we have given an account of our lives on that judgment seat, that we might be found faithful in thy sight and be allowed to serve thee in some capacity throughout the remainder of eternity. For we do ask these in all blessings, and then through the saving name of our Lord and Master, thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Gary Stevens has agreed to give us a word of exhortation. Before we do that, he's asked us to read 2 Peter chapter 2. We ask Brother Jeff Freeberg to read that.
The second epistle of Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ash, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversations of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not riling accusations against them before the Lord. These, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasures to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have, exercised with covetousness, practiced cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbid the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For if it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Now, Brother Gary Stevens will exhort, and his title is "The Washed Sow Returning to Wallow in the Mire." Brother Gary.
The washed sow returning to wallowing in the mire is the subject of today's exhortation. Brothers and sisters and friends, it has been a few years since I have had the opportunity to address this assembly. It is the first time that I've had the opportunity to be the first one to offer the exhortation on the subject of the week. This task I do not take lightly. But I do hope that I can present a verbal picture to all of you that you can reflect on throughout this coming week, and also the verbal picture you can take home with you to reflect on throughout the coming days. I do hope that I do not step on anyone else's talk, and if I do, I apologize. Today is the first of the talks centered on animals mentioned in the Bible. In the exhortation, the animal is mentioned in an action form, doing something that is used as an example. I'm not sure about your individual reaction to this verse, but it does seem sort of detestable. But it happens to them that according to the true proverb, the dog returns to his vomit, and the sow that was washed returns to wallowing in the mire. Ironically, wallowing denotes an air of contentment and enjoyment. This is a detestable image. Here we see actions of animals doing something disgusting and vile. What could be the reason for using such an analogy? Why would the writer see the need to use this action to get across a point? The answer is evident in the context of the entire chapter of 1 Peter chapter 2, and that is what we are going to explore today. In order to arrive at the exhortation, I would like to explore some traits that animals as well as man display, and in the hope, come up with the exhortation. We need to understand just what the ultimate goal of this analogy is and what personification of animal actions on human behavior means. Animals are considered to be lower functioning than man. They do have individual traits specific to their species. Animals of the air fly, and by instinct or by examples of their parents, perform tasks that are able to keep them alive and, of course, preserve their species. Animals of the water swim, and those of the land crawl or walk, and essentially perform the same basic functions as the animals of the air. They are necessary for preservation of their species. Simply put, for the most part, all animals left to their own destiny after birth would be to grow to adulthood, reproduce, and or at some time in life become victim to or part of the food chain. In other words, birth to death. But animals, for the most part, do not need humans to survive. Now, the higher functioning human being is different from the animals by the fact that humans are supposed to have the ability to reason or problem solve as well as consciously use tools to allow them to survive and protect the species. Humans are also able to use animals for their benefit, that is to kill them for food, to train them to perform tasks that make work easier for man, and of course domesticate them for pets or companions. In other words, man has the ability to exert control over the animal world to some extent. Since man has this ability to control some of the animal species, there is an implied obligation to maintain that control. One might ask why. I'm sure that most of you have read about people that have collected too many animals, bred animals that were not able to be sold and causing overpopulation in their homes. The house becomes overrun with unwanted litters of animals that are not trained in using elimination devices, and this becomes a problem. They usually get put out of the house or get let to overrun the house, and it takes the animal control department to alleviate the situation. For the most part, these animals have reverted back to their undomesticated traits. They are called wild, and they are unworthy of being called pets. It becomes unsanitary and unsafe, and also a public concern. So man has the obligation to maintain some control over domesticated animals. Animals left to their own can and will revert to instinctive behavior that could interfere with their ability to survive. Left to their own destiny, it may cause their death because these animals have developed a symbiosis with man and therefore a need for the support of man. Uncared for domesticated animals may become exposed to diseases that could be detrimental to humans as well as themselves. Man has been known to portray these same animalistic traits. They do this to themselves, and it can easily occur by not using their power of reason, not being goal-oriented, and being driven solely by need and wants that are considered, in scriptural terms, the desires of the flesh. They can exist as animals, displaying many of the same undomesticated behaviors that bring them a simple step closer to just being another animal species. How does man elevate themselves from being just one species of animal? God, in the creation, gave man a few tasks: to replenish the earth, to give names to the animals, and enjoy the fruits of the garden, except of the two trees that were forbidden. Genesis 2 and 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So Adam was to till the ground. But for the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The fruits. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, the naming of the animals. For the next 6,000 years, man had the opportunity to use animals, has the opportunity to use animals for work, food, and for pleasure. Man, observing traits displayed by animals in differing circumstances, has identified expected behaviors that were displayed, and man has categorized them. Many of the traits depicted in the Bible are stereotypes that are common traits that we understand today. Animals like goats, buzzards, dogs have traits that everyone can relate to, and these traits have been demonstrated throughout the ages. There have been occasions in the Bible that use these traits to get a point across, such as a dog returning to his own vomit, or a washed sow returning to the swamp. A snake, a bully, a vulture, a pig are some of the animal characteristics that have been applied from the animal kingdom to human behaviors. We have all heard of someone being called a pig, or a snake, or a vulture, or other names. Where animals do not have the power of reason to refrain from returning to instinct or innate behaviors, man does. Animalistic traits or behaviors can be displayed by man, but they may be overcome or placed under control by man, not simply, but by active participation in thinking. Control over animalistic behaviors or controlling animals is accomplished by training, by conditioning, or by repetition of acceptable behaviors. Classical conditioning is accomplished by using a method that gives rewards when acceptable responses or wanted behaviors are displayed. A stimulus, an acceptable response, or wanted acceptable response, a candy or treat. On the other hand, a negative response or unwanted behavior can be given a negative stimulus, such as a shock. The desired goal is to have positive behaviors displayed without the need of any type of gratification. In other words, stimulus and response occur automatically. This process has been proven to work very easily in the animal world, but in human environments, man has the ability to problem solve. Man with the ability to problem solve has been able to overcome classical conditioning and constantly receive negative feedback without positive stroking. In other words, man has the ability to defy logic and prediction. Man has another method of stimulus responsibility. Man has been given this power of reason, the power to learn and to think out problems and to identify the good and the bad, the right and the wrong, and the ability to please others by using a combination of learned resources. These resources are stored memories of past experience and information that has been passed from teachers, parents, and from life itself. By using a combination of intellect and reason, man learns how to interact with their environment and stay out of the path of harm. Another trait of humans is socialization, and is a learned behavior that allows individuals to live in close proximity with others without interfering with their neighbors. Socialization requires communication. That is another of the learned abilities that allow humans to relay to others their wants or desires and set up a system of standards or rules that govern how people exist with one another. This is a system of contracts that is a defining difference between animals and humans. We understand this because we know the animals in all species have some form of communication, and it is evident in most animals that most animals in a community have a set of rules that govern their instincts, and it is some way communicated. We have seen this by the sounds of animals in the ocean. We hear this through the birds singing in the trees, and land creatures with their howls, screams, and barks. The difference in this concept between humans and animals is the ability to make contracts and to hold others to them. Ultimately, with a system of penalties. There is one more aspect that I want to explore before getting to the meat of this exhortation. This is the concept of opportunity. Humans have the privilege of being privy to opportunities. What are opportunities? Using the idea of contracts, the process of contracting, man has the ability to present or have presented to them the opportunity to engage, the ability to engage in opportunity. The system of reward or gratification has some part in this concept. Opportunity is developed by offering an outcome depending upon compliance with one or a number of the standards. As an example, if you go to school and you get good marks, you can get a good job. Another is if you live a life of righteous behavior and are good to others and follow God's command and the teachings of Christ, and of course are baptized, you have the opportunity to partake of the system of good things during the kingdom of Christ. However, there are no guarantees. I want to tell you a story that brings me to the exhortation. It comes from a TV show called The Muppets. The story starts with Miss Piggy discussing with the other characters as they plan a surprise birthday party for Kermit. With the usual persuasion of Miss Piggy, the cast decides to rent a gym and decorate the gym to look like a swamp. They would bring in trees and weeds and as well bring in swamp water to make the impression of a real swamp. Everyone thought this was a great idea. They all felt that this was just what Kermit would love to have for his party. After all, it had been many years since Kermit had been home in the swamp. Swamp is another word for mire, which goes back to the verse of this exhortation. They all thought that Kermit was homesick since leaving the swamp, and just for a moment he would appreciate his walk down memory lane and just feel at home for a minute, for the moment. Yeah, this would be great. Kermit will love it. Well, the story continues with the preparation of the swamp, and we move to the time when Kermit comes into the surprise party. Kermit comes into the gym and sees his friends, sees the swamp, and quickly realizes this surprise party is for him. But his reaction was not one that was expected. Kermit let out a sigh of exasperation and quickly turns and walks out of the gym, disgusted. Everyone turns to each other and tries to come up with the reason why Kermit reacted in such a way. So Miss Piggy decides to go out and find out what is wrong with Kermit. After all, they spent a lot of time and energy trying to bring him back. Miss Piggy finds Kermit sitting on the curb with his head in his hands, and Miss Piggy steps in on Kermit. "What do you think you're doing? We spent a lot of time and money preparing your surprise party, and it looks like you don't appreciate it. We built a swamp for you to remind you of your home and for a moment feel that you were home. Why don't you appreciate this?" Well, Kermit took his time to answer so that he could probably save the moment. Piggy, It's not that I didn't appreciate the surprise party, or that all my friends were there. It's not that at all. I just can't think of any reason that it's why couldn't you think of something else but a swamp? Why the swamp? Do you know how hard it was for me to get out of that swamp? How much time and energy it took me to get to where I am today? I crossed highways, ran in front of lawnmowers, and crossed baseball fields. Now you know why I felt so bad about having that as my party. Let me ask you, how would you like it if I made your birthday party in a pig pen and fill it with swill? Would you like that? You know why I feel like I do right now. The story the story places human traits on animals or personifies animals who are attempting to display the abilities of reason and to plan for outcomes. The story shows how one individual has worked hard during his life to change the expected behavior of his species to a new standard and has no desire to return to the old, no matter how others try to pull him back. The other individual unwittingly has tried to bring the frog back without taking into consideration that the frog used all that energy to stay out of the mire, to change the negative to a positive. We have been given a very special privilege. God, through His Son, has blazed a passageway through this dispensation that can allow us to partake of this immense opportunity. Life, as we now know it, is doomed. It is evident all around us, from thieves to murders, from suicide to genocide, from wars and rumors of wars. God has contracted with us, through Jesus, a chance for life. I remember an exhortation from a brother a few years ago, "Choose life." We have been offered this, but not by passively wandering through life. When we choose life, we make a conscious commitment through baptism. But that is not the end of it. The obligation to live a life of righteousness has a few stumbling blocks for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many that follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." The truth can be contaminated, like the animals. Poor breeding can beget unwanted traits. In order to prevent this, it is imperative to review and reflect on basic text. Read and study the Bible. Read the works of the pioneer brethren. Do the readings daily. Go to midweek classes and take the time to pray. The truth is not to be taken for granted, nor is it appropriate to be vigilant only when the goings get tough. The life in the truth is a 24/7 responsibility. And yes, we are all on call 24 hours a day. Just as discussed previously, classical conditioning has a negative part to it. We have all been given life, a life of free will. It is how we perform that counts. Bad behaviors or contamination of the truth will be rewarded. "For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to ride in the day. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. In heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Here is the crux of the matter. We have all been called out. We have been given an example of behaviors to follow. We have been given a guide to follow, and we have been given the ultimatum that refusing to follow that guide or returning to previous unrighteous behaviors is unacceptable. Again, 2 Peter 2 and 21. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The teachers that bring contention to the truth will have a price to pay. God has called us out to righteousness. This is a high and holy call. Not only do we have to watch and protect the truth, but we have to watch out for those who would sway the weak or young and the not yet strong. We cannot be stagnant. We cannot return to that swamp. We cannot be like the washed sow and return to wallow in the mire. There is no standing still. As a brother said yesterday, if we are not moving forward, by default, we are falling backwards. Finally, brothers and sisters, I will leave you with this final thought. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We have been washed through baptism. It is our duty to keep our garments clean. It is not easy, but the guide, the Bible, is before us. Pray, repent, refrain from evil, refuse to be pulled back into the swamp. 2 Peter 2 and 9, For the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment.
Thank you, Brother Gary. In way of announcements, at the front of the tabernacle, there are programs with the week's schedules. There's a lost and found box, and linens, insecticides, and insect repellent. There's programs to be signed for those who are not attending. Also, in a brown file holder are the high rules and copies of detailed descriptions of the dangers of this area, such as rabid animals, insects, snakes, spiders, and weeds, as well as the restricted walking areas. We are allowed to walk on the paved road back to the bridge, but not on the road that goes the other way past the campgrounds. We are not allowed on the private property beside the roads except for the land between our campground and the river. We are allowed on the dirt road labeled Miracle Mile, but only to go to the cemetery to pay proper respects. And now we ask Brother Curtis to give a brief welcome address.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'd like to thank everyone for the help that in setting up yesterday and getting things ready. On the behalf of the Texas brothers and sisters, I'd like to welcome everyone to the 2006 High Fraternal Gathering. It's great to see how many brothers and sisters come from different lengths to be here. Where we have them from, and from Texas, we have people from Lampasas, Temple, Houston, Austin, and San Angelo Ecclesias. Other states we have represented is from Oklahoma, New Mexico, Tennessee, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Colorado, Michigan, Ohio, and Virginia. And we have some from Canada, from three provinces, from Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia. And we also have some from the United Kingdom, had to cross the ocean, and they're from Wales. All the Texas brothers and sisters would like to make sure our guests are comfortable and their needs taken care of. So let us know if we can help you in any way. With so many of us here, though, we need to be extra sensitive to others by obeying all the rules and remember that we answer to a higher power. Parents need to remember it is their responsibility to see that their children follow the rules. The list of the rules can be found up here on the counter in the brown portfolio. The dorms are also crowded this year, and we ask that the ones staying in the dorms try to be considerate to others by being quiet when they come in and keeping the room light off at night. If there's a need for lamps, we can probably take care of those needs if you need one. We have some lamps already, and they're kept by the door, and you can use those at night instead of turning on the big light in the dorms. Also, make sure to keep your area to avoid attracting ants and insects. If you have food, keep it clean and keep the floor clean around your area. Each room and dorm should have a broom in it, and we have a vacuum cleaner available as well, and also a shop vac. We've had a few improvements this year. Maybe some of you may not know. We bought 30 more new mattresses, and also the Sunday School Pavilion down on the other end, if you hadn't seen it, has been enclosed and has an air conditioner in it now. Also, we've had some very good news. With us in fellowship now are 10 new members, not really new, but Brother Max and Sister Carolyn McLaren, Brother Larry Brickerhoff, which would be Carolyn's brother if you don't know him, Brother Vernon and Sister Marie Hurst, Brother Glenn Rhodes, Brother Richard and Sister Melissa Hurst, Brother Glendon Rhodes, and Sister Jessica Rhodes. So we need to make sure that we speak with them and welcome them back. Okay, we need also to have somebody volunteer to go to Austin. Brother Gary said he would, but I'd like if we could have somebody else volunteer instead of Gary having to do all the work around here. It would be great. But if anyone wants to volunteer to get the supplies that Gary needs from Austin, please let Brother Gary know. We look forward to a very uplifting week, both spiritually and mentally. And we hope that we may go from here better prepared and determined to glorify God's name on a daily basis. Remember, as always, that to do this, we need to be as active as possible so that we may benefit from these meetings as much as possible. This morning, we had our business meeting, and at this time, I will read the notes from the business meeting. First of all, I was elected to preside. We had opening prayer by Brother Glendon Rhodes. Minutes to the last meeting were read, and there were no corrections. The financial report was given and approved. We have 5 elected to the committee and subcommittee, and they're on the board here. We have Brother Seth Brown, Brother Glendon Rhodes, and Brother Mark Dilla on the grounds committee, and the subcommittee is Brother Ben Neglieri and Sister Becky Hendershot. We have a bell ringer this year, is Brother Robin Hendershot, and his backup is Brother Ben Neglieri. We elected a brother to distribute the microphone, and he will probably be going around because he needs to know he can get help. He don't have to do it all by himself, but Brother Michael Phillips will be doing that. Other business, we have a broken swing out here. If you hadn't noticed, maybe we can get that fixed. The chlorinator may need to be added. Chlorine may need to be added in the chlorinator if anyone knows anything about that. And we're going to purchase a new washing machine to go in the washroom down here because we've had trouble with the one on the far end for a number of years. Finally, a motion was made to adjourn, and Brother Richard Hurst closed with prayer. Thank you.
At 2 o'clock, there'll be the daily Bible readings and discussion over Zechariah chapter 1. Are there any other announcements? If not, let us close with prayer, and we ask Brother Mike to close with prayer and also give thanks for the meal we're about to receive. Oh, excuse me, we need to sing the hymn first. Hymn 88. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest with thee. Hymn 88.
Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy great and most glorious name. We come before thee at this time, offering thanks for allowing us to meet here together. Ask that might continue to guide and direct us, bless us, and strengthen us. Ask that all that we might do this week might be pleasing before thee. We ask, Lord, that thou might bless the sick and afflicted, and brothers and sisters throughout the world. Special blessing to our sister Dottie. Ask that might bless this food to strengthen us, both spiritually and physically. Ask that all brothers and sisters throughout the world might be strengthened. Ask them might forgive us all of our many sins and shortcomings. Ask them might send soon thy son to set up the kingdom here on this earth, and that might save us a place therein. Ask that all things might be done according to thine honor, thy glory, and thy will. Through Christ Jesus' name, most humbly pray. Amen.